Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2425, with the release date of Friday, April 19th, 2024, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. NASA confirms space station debris hit a Florida home. A simulated crisis in Oregon draws a robust response. And a musician who was a headliner at the Woodstock Music Festival becomes a silent key. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2425 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here's Jim Dameron, NATMW.
We begin this week with a story of a disaster preparation drill in one part of Oregon where living on a floodplain means always being vigilant. Ralph Squalacci, KK6ITB, tells us how things played out.
The disaster scenario was a simulated emergency test, or SET, in Crook County, Oregon. But the response was very real on Saturday, April 13th, as radio amateurs and others responded from Crook County Emergency Management, the Sheriff's Search and Rescue Team, and the county's Auxiliary Communication Team. The amateur radio station at the area hospital was activated, and communications went out over the Grizzly Mountain repeater and on 2-meter simplex. In this simulated scene across the region's floodplain, the reservoirs had reached capacity after abundant winter snowfall. A nearby river below a major dam threatened to rise and cause flooding. Residential areas faced further dangers as a major creek began to swell. The drill's organizer, Jim Burge, KB7SHT, told Newsline that 26 hams were mobilized and 4 others checked in from their home QTH. The drill also became a training exercise for newcomers who were paired with more experienced hams and took an active part in learning how to call the net. Dave, W7KFO, said that simplex coverage was also provided at all critical points, such as the hospital and the EOC. He said that with most of Crook County's population in Prineville, which is built on a floodplain, a high water simulation such as this carries special urgency. There have been real-life deployments, too, even when flooding is not the central worry. Jim told Newsline that hams were involved in all 38 missions conducted last year, using both simplex frequencies and area repeaters. No, these instances were not simulated. Jim said, quote, 4 of those missions were truly life-saving missions, and ham radio was our only means of communication, end quote. This is Ralph Squillaci, KK6ITB.
As Newsline went to production, contributions to next year's Bouvet Island de-expedition were put on hold for now. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, picks up the story.
The 3Y0K Bouvet Island de-expedition, set for January 2025, has suspended its acceptance of donations temporarily while the team reassesses its financial picture. The de-expedition made the announcement on its website, 3YankeeZeroK.com. DXWorld.net posted a statement made on social media by Ken, LA7GIA, who explained, "Unfortunately, the financial risk for the small team is too high, and we will spend the next few weeks in April assessing the situation and deciding what to do. We'll explore all possible options and we'll return with more information once we've reached a conclusion." According to the DXpedition website, the team has secured 80% of its $400,000 budget, but was still needing $75,000. The 21-day DXpedition is to have 3 operators and a 4-person support team. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
A musical talent whose group was a headliner at the Woodstock Music Festival in the 1960s has become a silent key. We hear about him from Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
On the opening day of the Woodstock Music Festival in upstate New York in 1969, Elpidio Cobian, N6VJD, enlivened the music of the group Sweetwater with his conga playing, as he always did. A gifted musician, he later made a career change into the film industry, where he became part of different movie set crews. According to his longtime friend Leo, KJ6HI, one of the big joys in his life was amateur radio and his amateur radio friends. Known to almost everyone as Pete, he died of natural causes on the 6th of April. Leo remembered his friend of more than 40 years as someone who made, and kept, lasting friendships on and off the air. He told Newsline, he was an unselfish operator and always available to assist other hams. He said that Pete was a fixture on 40 and 75 meters, where he inspired everyone with his upbeat and endearing personality. Leo told Newsline, we are going to miss him dearly. Pete was 90 years old. This is Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
A central figure among Kansas City area radio amateurs has become a silent key. We hear about him from Randy Sly, W4XJ.
As an active and involved ham for six decades, Larry Staples, W0AIB, was well known among other amateurs in the Kansas City metro area. But he was perhaps best known as the publisher of Larry's List. The popular email message center dispatched ham radio-related emails relevant to its nearly 2,200 subscribers and was considered a mainstay for radio amateurs in the region. Larry, who had been a ham since 1960, died on the 17th of April. In addition to his varied other activities, public service was close to Larry's heart. He could be counted on to play Santa Claus for mentally challenged youngsters or to coordinate radio assistance, as he did for more than three decades with what was then known as the March of Dimes Walkathons. 73's my friend, you will be missed. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
NASA has confirmed the claims of a Florida homeowner who said his house was struck by debris from the International Space Station, which had jettisoned old batteries. The space agency came to that conclusion after examining it at Kennedy Space Center, where it had been taken after the damage was discovered on March 8th. According to various news reports, the homeowner had been away at the time, but discovered that part of the ceiling and floor had been damaged. No one was reported injured. If you were lucky enough to score a QSO with W2A here in the United States or any other call signs that were part of the recent Global Autism Awareness Week, join the crowd. Organizer James, KB2FMH, reported that logs collected as of April 15th reflect a total of 17,129 QSOs. Contacts were made across 50 U.S. states, 44 Canadian provinces, 146 countries, and 6 continents. James said that this translates into having radio signals travel nearly 83 million miles to carry the message from 45 volunteer operators worldwide that it's okay to be different. Congratulations to the special event team. In what is being described as a first-of-its-kind event, four top Parks on the Air activators from eastern Pennsylvania will be setting up stations in a state park in suburban Philadelphia to showcase one of the fastest-growing activities in amateur radio today to other hams. Mark Abramovich, NT3V, has more.
Walt Skavinsky, KB3SBC, a veteran POTA activator and hunter himself, came up with the idea for the activation set for Sunday, April 28th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Evansburg State Park, just outside Philadelphia.
They are the League of Extraordinary POTAmen, and they're going to come share their superpowers with you, because they're all unique, and you have an opportunity to learn from each one of them.
Skavinsky says the goal is to demonstrate to hams across the region how to activate a POTA station, perhaps without much of an investment in special gear.
They can see what equipment that others have already tried and worked. They might even see equipment they already own.
The four POTA veterans are Pete Kobach, K0BAK, Greg Malone, WA3GM, Joel Rubinkan, NF3R, and Bill Hewitt, W3FRB. Their goal is to showcase the symbiotic relationship that makes POTA work.
The activators can't do their jobs and have fun without the hunters at home. And you participate where you can. I tell you, a lot of hunters have become activators, and a lot of activators have become hunters, because I want to support my fellow activators out there.
Skavinsky says whether you're new, experienced, or just interested in exploring it, POTA is one of the places where you can pretty much do it your own way. I'm Mark Abramovich, NT3V, in Collegeville, Pennsylvania.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio News Line, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the WI9HF repeater in Madison, Wisconsin, Tuesday nights at 7:30. A noted scientist in the UK has been honored for his contributions to ionospheric research. We hear about him from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
His use of the digital protocol FST4W for ionospheric research has earned Gwyn Griffiths, G3ZIL, the Les Barclay Memorial Award from the Radio Society of Great Britain. Gwyn has been an active contributor to HAM-SCI, the Citizen Science Investigation Group, best known for its studies of the impact solar eclipses have on the ionosphere. Gwyn, who has also been honoured as a recipient of the Member of the British Empire, has utilised the digital protocol to investigate different aspects of propagation. FST4W is mostly used on the low-frequency and medium-frequency bands using 4GFSK modulation. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
The Courage Kenny Handy Ham program is celebrating 57 years of service with a CUSO party, as we learn from Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
Congratulations to the Courage Kenny Handy Ham program, which is marking 57 years of providing service, training, and experience to disabled amateur radio operators. In celebration of the program's longevity and success, the Handy Ham Radio Club is holding a 48-hour QSO party, and all currently licensed program members are encouraged to get on the air. The action starts at 1900 UTC on Friday, the 26th of April, and continues through 1900 UTC on Sunday, the 28th of April. Operators will be on all amateur bands using all modes, including digital and VOIP, to spotlight the Minnesota-based program and the club. Operators will be calling CQ Handy Ham 57. Logs are required and due no later than June 1st. Contacts can request an anniversary QSL card by QSLing directly to the program. See details at handyham.org. This is Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
The AO109 CubeSat is expected to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere soon, as we hear from Patrick Clark, K8TAC.
Welcomed into service in low Earth orbit in July of 2021, AMSAT's AO109 CubeSat, known as Fox-1E, is ending its successful run. The satellite is expected to re-enter the atmosphere very soon. This fifth-generation Fox-1U CubeSat is perhaps best known for having had the longest CPU uptime, operating continuously for more than 18 million seconds in the period since September of last year. Hams have been able to make use of the satellite's 30 kHz wide linear transponder. This is Patrick Clark, K8TAC.
We're getting closer to the deadline time for this year's Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. Let Newsline know of any promising young amateurs who are deserving of this honor. Candidates must live in the continental United States and be 18 years of age or younger. Tell our judges about your nominee's talent, promise, and commitment to the spirit of ham radio. This is your chance to help honor and acknowledge that person who will no doubt go on to teach and inspire others. Find the nomination form on our website, arnewsline.org, under the Awards tab. Nominations close May 31st. When does a special event week last a whole month? When it's SOS Radio Week in the UK. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us more.
Throughout the month of May, when the Royal National Lifeboat Institute conducts its annual fundraiser, May Day, hams throughout the UK will be on board. In recognition of all lifeboat crews, including independent ones and coastal watch keepers, hams will be getting on the air at various times between the 1st and the 31st of May. Listens for special event station GB0FLB, which will be on the air from Fleetwood Lifeboat Station on the 4th and 5th of May. The station is being run by Thornton Cleveley's Amateur Radio Society, based in Lancashire, and is one of the many getting involved. Listen too for MX0KWA, which is being operated by the Kent Weald Radio Club at various times from the Kent East Sussex coast. For more details about SOS Radio Week and a full list of stations, visit the link in the text version of this week's Newsline script at arnewsline.org. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, time is running out to work Kevin, N4DVR, who's on the air as V6DVR from Chuuk, IOTA number OC011 in Micronesia. He's using SSB on 20 through 10 meters. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for Tom, NL7RR from Wake Island, IOTA number OC053 until the 15th of May. He'll be on the air on or around 14.200 megahertz using the call sign KH9/NL7RR. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Listen for OT2024EPIC, the special call sign for the Antwerp Port Contest Club, ON8APC. The group is on the air until the 19th of May to promote the 7th edition of the Antwerp Port Epic Cycling Race. The race is being held on May 19th. See QRZ.com for QSL details. Seven radio amateurs from Belgium will be active as 5P5LI from Lawland Island, IOTA number EU029 until the 6th of May, operating CW, SSB, and the digital modes on 160 through 6 meters, QSL via ON6EF, direct, or the Bureau. This week's newscast ends with the story of a beginning. A new amateur radio club in Indiana is being born in response to a crisis. What local hams see as a shortfall in the region's disaster communications. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, has that story.
It's just a beginning for the Martin County Amateur Radio Club, but Corey, KD9SHS, sees the growing group as the source of a much-needed capability in disaster reporting and emergency communications. Corey, the president of the new group, said he got the idea drawing on his background as medical and safety officer for a local fire department and a deputy director of county emergency management. Corey is also a volunteer with the Civilian Crisis Response Team, or CERT, which is a trained disaster response group. He told Newsline that 15 hams met with him one recent evening in response to a Facebook post he made looking for interested radio operators. The hams suggested that a club be formed first, giving members the option later to deepen their involvement by joining Aries or RACES. Since then, he and the club's vice president, Ruben, KA9RCM, have not only seen the group grow, but have attracted support from area clubs. One of the first projects will be to restore the full operation of a local repeater, which has been performing poorly. He told Newsline that being in a rural county makes access to all corners of the county even more important. In fact, he can't wait to look back a year from now and see how things have grown. This is Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Don't forget the Amateur Radio Newsline Haiku Challenge. If you're not too busy tuning your antennas or chasing the latest de-expedition, pick up a pencil and share your experience by sending an original haiku to us here at Newsline. Use the entry form on our website, arnewsline.org, and please follow the rules for writing your three-line haiku. Sorry, we can't accept any entries that aren't written in traditional haiku form. Share with fellow listeners the poetry that's inspired by your ham radio experience. With thanks to Amateur Radio Weekly, AMSAT, CQ Magazine, Corey, KD9SHS, David Bihar, K7DB, DX World, Facebook, 425DX News, Leo, KJ6HI, QRZ.com, NBC.com, shortwaveradio.de, Space News, Sweetwater Band website, YouTube, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, visit our website, arnewsline.org, and know we appreciate you all. We also remind listeners, if you like our newscast, leave us a 5-star rating wherever you subscribe. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, NATMW in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73, and thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2024, all rights reserved.